Sitting in for George Norrie, coming to you live from my home studio in Old Thornhill Village, just north of Toronto. Is it just me, or every week it seems like there's another story on the Coast to Coast AM website, usually a video, security camera, closed circuit TV, footage of a ghost spilling a pint at a British pub. I love these stories, and the videos are great. So this spooky piece of security camera footage from a pub in England, again, shows a pint of beer inexplicably tumble over in front of a patron, and the manager of the establishment contends the spill was caused by a mischievous ghost. The eerie incident reportedly occurred on Sunday evening at the 300-year-old White Swan Inn in the town of Dunstable. According to a manager, Natasha Magnan, she first suspected the spill was simply the fault of a clumsy guest. However, when she gave him grief for making quite a mess, the young man insisted the pint had moved on its own. Understandably skeptical of the claim, Magnan checked the pub security footage and was astounded by what she saw. Check it out. You can see the video for yourself in the highlight carousel up at coasttocoastam.com. All right, back to your wonderful calls on Serendipity when Coast to Coast AM continues. Stay with us. East of the Rockies, Bruce is in the great province of Saskatchewan. Hey, Bruce, welcome to Coast.
Oh, Richard, thank you for taking my call. As
my
I've
pleasure.
Said in the past, 10-10 wins. If you can't have synchronicity with that, I don't know what it else means.
But there you go.
You know, I'm going to tie both of your topics together, and I think your audience will just love this one. Synchronicity, June 23rd, 2021. It's just an ordinary day out of last year for COVID 2.0. But in my life, it's my mom and dad's wedding anniversary. My mom and dad passed away many years ago. But, you know, you remember that date because that's when the whole thing started for our family.
Right.
So we go back to that day. We had a brutal May, super hot out here, up to 90 degrees in June. Very dry, extremely hot and warm weather. But you know what? Like you said, you got to make your own miracles. You got to make your own magic. So you have a garden, you have a yard you have to look after, and you're going to watch things. You know, you're not going to do things as much as you think because of the heat and everything else. And I'm 58 years old. So 11 o'clock at night, water the back garden, decide at 11:30 to go out into the front yard on the driveway and water the grass in the front. That was a routine that I kind of had. You know, if you can water really good once in a week, you kind of save on water and everything else, and everything still looks great, but very warm. I'm watering in the grass, not paying attention too much. It's very quiet outside, beautiful night out. I don't have my phone with me. All of a sudden, to the left of my shoulder above me, kind of a light. Something's coming down. And like you said, strange occurrence. Well, it wasn't strange. To me, it was wonderful what happened. All of a sudden, I'm just enveloped with a bunch of light. It comes right down on top of me, just like something out of Star Trek. It was fireflies that had come down from the sky, a group and a cloud of fireflies in my inner city neighborhood.
Wow.
I've never seen that in 58 years. And they come down on top of me, on top of the van, onto the grass, and then around the house. That'll stick with me as a memory the rest of my life.
On your parents' wedding anniversary.
So amazing. To this day, I know that maybe you had to be in that moment. I know probably I created it. You created a zone of moisture someplace in the whole city area. I can't explain it. I've told my friends. I even talked to an entomologist. I said, like, does this happen? And they said, well, you saw fireflies in the city? Where? You know, nobody sees
right.
it.
Well, and the other thing is with fireflies, correct me if I'm wrong, Bruce, but, you know, I remember as a kid used to run out, you know, and try and capture them in jars, in a mason
yeah.
jar. And I mean, you mean it would be one over there, maybe two way over there, but for them to come down in almost like a swarm, I've never heard of it.
It was like, I mean, you could, if it was daytime, you could say bees and stuff like that. But
right,
it was just
right.
like all of a sudden something just comes right down onto you in your yard for that moment. Lights up everything, goes around the corner, and it's gone. You know, magic.
Your parents were putting on a little light show for you.
I think so, but, you know, But you said it right earlier on in the program. You have to be aware of it, in tune with everything that's going on. We've been so distracted with everything in the whole world and in even our own country. And you have these little moments, and they happen to people every day. And that's so important.
Yes. Yeah. We're literally living at the speed of light. We're these electric beings, and we're being pulled out of our body with all of this technology, social media, television, computer screens, what have you, and we miss all this stuff. And it's happening all around us, probably every moment. Once in a while,
we slow down just enough.
Yep. Yeah, we slow down just enough once in a while, and we catch glimpse of one. But if we were able to totally live in the moment all the time, we would see this stuff happening constantly, I think.
Oh, yeah. But you know, the thing is, it's never happened to me in all my lifetime. Like, you've gone out to the lake or you go out to a river. Yeah, you'll see the odd stuff, you know, and fireflies, and everybody catches them as a kid. But to have it in, you know, for that moment, and of course, you didn't have your phone with you because, you know,
It wasn't quiet. Meant to be captured. It wasn't meant to be captured.
That's right. That's right.
Great call, Bruce. Thank you for that.
Take care. Thank you.
You too. Let's say hi to Ramon in San Diego. Good morning, Ramon.
Hello. How are you doing, Ramon?
Hi there. I'm well. How are you?
That's an honor to be on your show.
Oh,
I'm doing great.
It's great having you.
My first time calling. A little nervous.
Welcome.
So I'm calling you from beautiful San Diego.
It is, yeah.
I have two quick stories I'd like to tell you.
Okay.
The first one was probably about 6 years ago. Happened about 2 a.m. in the morning. I woke up, and for some reason I had a feeling to look out of my window. So I got up, went to my window, looked out my front yard, and I saw a creature out there, and it was probably about 12 feet away. And I know my animals. It looked like a predator, but it didn't look like a cat or like a coyote either. And as soon as I saw it, it looked up and looked me right in the eye. So for some reason or another, it felt me. And the creature, the first thing it did was took a leap. It jumped approximately 17 feet. And then from there...
It jumped 17 feet, not in the air, but it jumped like...
No, the distance was 17
feet. A distance, wow, in one hop.
Yeah, in one hop. And that was the first thing it did. So if it was a coyote, usually a coyote would run. And a coyote
yes.
can actually get over like a 6-foot wall or a fence, but
yeah.
they run and leap over it. This was
sure.
a solid stand to a leap. And then the second motion was a second leap, which was another 17 feet. I went out and measured it. And it landed out in the middle of the street. And on that second leap, it jumped over our 4-foot fence. From there, it took off running. I have no idea to this day. It's not a bobcat, wasn't a mountain lion, not a coyote. So I joke with my wife. I tell her it was a chupacabra. She thinks I'm an idiot.
How big an animal? Well, how big an animal was it?
I have an 80-pound dog.
Right.
And it was bigger than him.
Bigger than an 80-pound dog.
In size,
and it was...
but it was thinner.
Was definitely not feline.
It almost looked like no. It looked more like canine, but I don't know of any that would leap like that.
Usually no,
they can leap, but they take off running first, and they get up to something and then leap over.
Right. Yeah. Not from a standing position.
Right. From a
not
standing,
from a standing
position.
Position.
It looked at me, took two leaps, and by the second leap, it was out of my yard and out in the middle of the street. Then it took.
What color was it?
And
was it kind of brownish, or what color was it? Do you know?
It was 2 a.m. I had no idea. It was dark.
Okay.
But when I saw it, I could sense and tell enough that it was a predator, something I've never seen. And I have a lot of weird things that happened to me, but that's one of them that I will never forget.
Did it have a tail?
It did. It had a long tail.
Hmm.
So, it was.
Did it leave any tracks?
I mean, no, because of the way I have a very rocky. I live at a rock quarry, in the middle of San Diego, and it's, there's nothing really around me, so I couldn't find any tracks for it.
Wow, that's a real head scratcher.
Yeah, I looked at a bunch of animals and like, okay, their characteristics, how far they jump, things like that. And I cannot find anything that even looked like it or matches the reaction of that animal.
So great call.
I'm going to share that with you.
I'm glad you did. Yeah, okay.
Last year, my younger brother died.
I'm so sorry.
It was not COVID. It was not COVID related. But he passed away.
Oh, dear.
And just this Monday on Valentine's Day, I had a heart procedure done. So before going to the hospital to have this done, I said a prayer to my family members that are in heaven that are not on this realm to be there for me and for my guy to be there with me and you know, just for protection and to watch over me. The procedure went well. Everything was fine.
Thank God.
I kind of laid up in bed. I haven't been able to do anything. So obviously I went on the internet to look for stuff for my truck. And this was yesterday. I was looking at speakers so I could upgrade my truck speakers.
Right.
And I was on the site. And where you fill in your vehicle information, I clicked over to it, but I hadn't typed anything, but I clicked on it so I could enter my make and model of my vehicle, and yes. My brother's name popped up, the one that...
On the form? On the form? My yes. Word. Did he live at the same address?
Computer. What's that?
Did he live at the same address as you?
No. Mm-mm. He lived in Modesto, and I live in San Diego.
Wow.
But, yeah, and I was going to put my vehicle make and model, you know, my vehicle information on the website, and it just auto-filled his name. Like, as soon as I clicked on it, I didn't type anything, and his name popped up. So I called the family and told them about it. Because he's never been on my computer. It's not like it remembered his name.
Right,
on
right.
My computer. He was never on it, but
I that's think remarkable.
Way to let me know that when I had my surgery just, you know, on Monday, let me know that, hey, I was there. So that was the other thing I wanted to share.
That's a remarkable story, Roman. Both remarkable stories. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. All right. Let's see. Joshua is in Grass Valley, California, in the wild card line. Hey, Josh, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
In the time that's passed since I've been on hold, I can't remember exactly the original thing because I've gotten so lost in what I've been listening to, which has been so amazing about synchronicity and serendipity. So then I thought, I just want to share my most amazing moment of serendipity or synchronicity is what I want to
share. Sounds great.
I had been dating women for most of my life and was always like, you know, we would break up after a year or two, you know, like semi-long-term relationships. And so I went into astrology and I started, and my father was married to somebody who studies Vedic astrology. And so, she would explain to me like, oh, your charts aren't matching up and all this type of thing. I'm sure that you're aware of what I'm talking about.
Yes, and most right. Of yes. The
listeners are. So then I just kept thinking to myself, like, where is this person who's like perfect for me? What's their birthday? And I thought, well, I saw my trajectory of the Earth going around the sun. And I saw like, well, this is where I was born. Maybe it's the opposite side of where I was, my birthday. So I figured out what that birthday was. And I started envisioning that birthday in my mind over and over again. And about 6 months after that, I was like, you know, just really heartbroken over this one relationship that I was like trying to like keep holding on to. And I went to a music festival and I let go of all those notions. And I said, if you don't let go of anything, nothing new comes in. I heard this voice in my head that said this. Then right. I went on to meet this really, you know, amazingly beautiful young lady. And we ended up like hanging out for the whole time. And we spent all this time together. And then the voice came into my head and I said, like, oh, and I bet she's that birthday, you know, that opposite, that perfect other birthday.
Right.
That I had
right.
already envisioned, which is the opposite side. I looked at the exact opposite side of where my birthday was on the other side of the you know,
the astrological chart,
the orbit of the Earth, and her. I already envisioned her birthday, and at that moment, I asked her. In this one moment, she said that birthday, and you know, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. And it was like I couldn't understand. But then this is what I have to offer about that synchronicity. It's a 1 in 365 chance, which is very good odds.
1 in 365? Well, is it, though? I mean, is it really 1 in 365 just because that's how many days there are in a year? Or is it even greater? I'm not sure how you would calculate those odds. So what happened? Are you still with this gal?
We are still in connection, and I hope she's listening right now. Crystalline, if you're listening to this, she's probably living in Canada, by the way. So it's perfect that I called you on this night because that's the last I heard where she was living. So Crystalline, if you're out there, it's Josh. I love you.
You think she's the one?
I don't know about that. I don't believe in all of that anymore. I think that we're like absolutely soulmates. And we were meant to guide each other. I mean, like I helped her in so many ways. And so she continues to help me to this day. And it's like a ping pong.
Right. Well, a soulmate doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be involved romantically. It could just be, as you say, someone who's helping to guide you. So maybe in that sense, she is the one. Great story, Joshua. Thank you. All right. We are going to roll into a break here at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll just keep taking your calls. I'll keep taking your calls. They are wonderful. Sitting in for George Norrie. Say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett and the website strangeplanet.ca. The quest to find alien life in the cosmos has come up empty in one of the biggest searches to date. Researchers in Australia say their latest project scanned billions of stars and 144 known exoplanets for signs of alien broadcasts, but ultimately found nothing. A trio of scientists used the Murchison Wide Field Array, a collection of more than 4,000 spider-like antennas in the Western Australian desert, to listen for alien techno-signatures. Near the heart of the Milky Way galaxy, they kept this array focused on this region in space for 7 hours, scanning for broadcast signals at a high frequency of 155 megahertz. This array is capable of picking up low-frequency radio waves out in space, which could be a sign of intelligent life on other worlds. The Galactic Center has been a prime target for astronomers looking for intelligent aliens in the universe. With countless stars here, there's a chance some are home to planets, and if some of those planets are habitable, they may contain life which can communicate with us. But so far, nothing. Radio silence. All right, we'll come back and bring it all home with your wonderful calls on a delightful evening of open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. And we are into the home stretch. I just don't want it to end. Such wonderful calls tonight as we're talking serendipity and encounters with strange creatures. James is in Worcester, Massachusetts. James, good evening, good morning, welcome.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
I can, yes.
Yes, hi. All right, so my friends say that my life is ruled by like fluke and coincidence. Real quick story from recently. One of my friend's dad is from Greece, and I'm over there picking her up for the first time. We're all going to go out for the night. And he had all this Americana in the house, you know. He's from Greece, but he had, like, baseball cards and old car models from, like, the 50s.
Right.
So we're going out for a ride just to go eat. And we go to this hot dog place that has been open since the 50s. And I'm like, oh, your dad would totally love this place. And she's like, now he's one of these hardcore Greeks. Like, if it's not Greek, it's crap, you know?
I know. Believe me.
Yeah. So we're a few minutes away, and she's just fighting me like, no. He would never come here. He would never come here. As we pull him in the parking lot, she has to jack on her brakes because her father and brother are walking out the front door. And she just,
he found it.
She just turns to me and says, like, somehow you did this. I think this story fits your criteria. Synchronicity, be careful what you ask the universe for, maybe a strange creature all wrapped up into one. An ex-girlfriend and I were like, oh, I still am in huge movies, but she's a big movie fan. And this little game developed sort of organically where whenever we would watch a lot of movies in the course of a weekend, and we'd always see, like, those actors that are, like, in 200 movies for 2 minutes and you never know their name, right?
Right, right.
So we would always try to outdo each other, like, ah, you know that guy's name or this lady or whatever. So this one weekend, Stephen Tobolowsky pops up. Now, you would know him best from Ned Ryerson in Groundhog Day.
Yes, yes. Yes, exactly. So, I know who you mean, exactly.
So I knew his name this one time at the movies, and she didn't. It's a trailer, actually. The movie's about to start. So she didn't know him, I did. And mind you, I really spiked the football. Like, aha, you didn't know that one, you know? So she gets mad at me, and I don't know, like, just mildly mad, you know? But it was weird. I had to walk outside into the hallway for a minute and just get myself together. I'm like, you know what? It matters that I know that. Like, I'm going to let this go, and you watch. Someday I'm going to meet that guy, and if I do, it means that I can play a role in the film industry, some sort of job, you know? Now, I expected years later I would bump into him at a film festival, you know?
Right.
Three months later, a friend of mine started a film festival in Worcester, Massachusetts, and he pulls out this movie, and he says, oh, yeah. Hey, has anyone ever heard of Stephen Tobolowsky? He wants to come here.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Now, it gets better. I'll talk fast. I know. Not only did I meet him at that film festival, but I ended up having lunch, dinner, and breakfast with him, drove him back to the airport. And so I started a job that week. 5 years later, I lost that job. See him again at a different festival, different friend, or a different person I didn't know, actually, at the time. They had him for, like, this one little one-man show he does. So I tell this person that story. I'm like, oh, you know what? We don't have anyone to bring him to the airport tomorrow. So not only did I meet him, I've had lunch, dinner, breakfast two or three different times. I've driven him to the airport five times and, like, have his cell phone number.
There you go. Wow. Brushes with greatness. And manifested that. You manifested it, right?
I guess so, right? I must have.
Great story.
You know, like I said, the lesson, be very careful what you ask the universe for. Sometimes they give it to you very specifically and then some.
Yeah, that's pretty specific.
I've got 10 more, but I'll let you get on with the night. Good talking to you.
Okay, well, you save those for the next time. Great call, James, in Worcester, Massachusetts. All right, let's see. Let's say hi to Judy is in Colorado. First-time caller. Hey, Judy, welcome aboard.
Thank you. Good to talk to you, Richard. Great music tonight.
Thank you.
I had a bit of serendipity happen to me this week that was just delightful. I was sitting in my reading chair. I had a stack of books next to me, and I took one of them off. It was published in about 2017. And I was reading it during the commercial breaks. And there was this great interview with Charlie Pellegrino.
Charlie Pellegrino.
He was on Coast to Coast.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah?
Yes, he's been on with Ian Punnett a few times. Yeah.
Yes. And at the very end, there had been several little things that had gone, and I was going, oh, that's kind of in this book I'm reading. Oh, that's kind of in this book I'm reading. At the very end, he said Pellegrino had a couple of fiction books that he had written. One of them was Himalayan Codex, and that was the book in my lap.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is so cool.
Yes, that is very cool.
Yeah, that's it was wonderful. And the other big one I had was I was in Alaska. I was on a state ferry, and everybody kept asking me questions about animals. And I knew a lot, so I answered them. And then somebody started asking me about Wisconsin, and I said, oh, I've never been there. And they got real upset with me. And
why?
A few minutes later, somebody said, you need to go down to the wildlife expert. You two are twins. And I'm like, huh? And I went down there, and they were right. She was my doppelganger. And we spent a lot of time together and talked about it. Her name was Sandy. Mm-hmm. Her two best friends growing up were Judy and Lori. My two best friends growing up were Sandy and Lori.
Oh, my gosh.
We sat in line because of our last names. I was KLM. She was FGH. And our Loris were white blondes, pale as they could be, white blondes, and our opposite Judy's and Sandy's were so close to looking like us that we were often mistaken like sisters.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, and every once in a while, someone will walk up to me and go, Sandy? And I go, nope, she's in Wisconsin. Wrong one.
Does she share your knowledge and love of animals?
Oh, yeah. I was doing geology. She was doing wildlife biology up there.
And so do you keep in touch now?
We kept in touch for a couple years, but then we kind of let it go. But it was freaky and lovely and weird.
Freaky and lovely and weird. That's exactly right. That's it. That's it, Judy. You nailed it. Freaky and lovely and weird. Thank you so much. Great stories. Let's say hi to John in Syracuse, New York. Hey, John.
Hi, Richard. How are you?
I'm well.
Good. President Reagan was president, George and I were both in the Navy together. We both met each other at one time. Just a bit of trivia there. I have a couple things to pass to you I'd like you to just check on. In 1968, there was a one-hour Star Trek on TV. It was called Omega Glory. If you ever get to watch it, please do, because the parallels in that one-hour Star Trek and what we're going through in the pandemic worldwide are very close. I don't know if you've ever seen it before.
I think I've seen all of the episodes at least once, but it's been many years. But I just called it up here as you were mentioning it.
Okay.
The Omega Glory, the 23rd episode of the second season. In the episode, Captain Kirk must find the cure to a deadly disease and put an end to another Starfleet captain's cultural interference. The story was one of three outlined.
They're on a planet. It's similar to ours, very close, and they have two groups of people in a bacteriological war, and the war mutates the population, and the war is between the Yangs and the Combs.
Oh, I remember that, yes.
And Spock and Kirk look at each other and go, Combs. And Spock looks at Kirk and goes, Communists. And Kirk looks at Spock and goes, Yangs, Yankees.
Yep.
And the war mutates the people where they're living to be 300-400 years old. And the bacteriological war was only solved by nature, who modified the bacteria by eating the local food and the water. They were able to survive and go back to the ship. So they had to come down there and see what was going on. The other thing you talked about this evening that was interesting was that William Jennings Bryan, in the last president, he ran for president twice, and there's a biography on him. He was a great orator, and he spoke of himself as being the last president that you would ever need.
Uh-huh.
That is one of his famous sayings. And when you said that earlier with your guests on what was going on, I thought of William Jennings Bryan and how many times he ran for president. And the last thing I wanted to mention to you is when you mentioned Art Bell, you keyed me because I've been listening to your whole show. It's been very interesting. Is Art Bell and I had a discussion one day about going into outer space, and I was watching on TV today when they were giving the simulations of flying the drone on Mars, and Art Bell had a guest on. It was a physicist. I think it was the Japanese physicist, and I asked him a question. When you go into outer space, since in our solar system, the sun is a giant ball of infrared light, when you go into space and you go onto the planets with no atmospheres, are you having to look through infrared? Are you seeing in infrared? And your whole badge, when the space suits that we wear, that's when we spacewalk, have a gold sheen over the helmet. And I asked him about seeing and looking and talking and being directed while you're in space and seeing in infrared. Have you ever had a guest talk to you about that?
No, I haven't. That was probably Michio Kaku, I'm guessing, that was on with Art?
It was.
Right.
And he talked to me about it for quite a while and said to me that there were several different filters that were used to look through infrared because that star that we orbit out there is nothing but a giant ball of infrared light. So it was a very interesting conversation I had with him that day. But if you get a chance, Rich, please watch that Star Trek again. The ending will surprise you.
Yeah, I seem to recall that they prayed to this document, and they weren't pronouncing the words correctly, and Spock and Kirk figured out it was the U.S. Constitution.
They would, and they were talking. They were trying to talk in Latin.
Yes.
And they were trying to say, we the people, in Latin, and they had slurred the words, and he straightened them out on the words, but they were trying to survive, and they went back to spears and knives and living in the woods and what they had to do because the war had not only taken them and wiped two-thirds of the planet's population out, if you recur. Remember.
Right, and he rebuked them because they had forgotten the meaning, or they weren't living up to the meaning of the document that they were worshiping, the U.S. Constitution.
Correct.
Now, it's been many years since I've seen it, but you jigged my memory there. John in Syracuse, thank you so much. You have a great evening. Great to hear from you. I think we can squeeze in one more anyway. Denise is in the Garden State, New Jersey. Denise, good evening, good morning. Are you there, Denise? I think we lost connection with Denise. All right, let's say hi to Brian is in Washington State. Brian, good morning. Welcome.
Hi, Richard. I know you're running out of time. Great show. As
Thank you.
Always, love you guys. So my synchronicity is a radio synchronicity story. 97.3. Can I mention a radio station in Seattle where I live, Seattle, Washington?
Sure, why not?
Okay. It's a Dory Monson show. I listen to him on basically noon, Pacific Standard Time, noon to 3 p.m. And it's 97.3. And then when I do get off work for my great job, you guys start on the 97.3, same channel, different show, Coast to Coast, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Right.
So last summer, I'll make this quick because I know you're running out of time. And a good bonfire here in Western Washington, bunch of friends. It was one of my truckers. He was trying to get everybody together. Bonfire story. And a lot of people didn't know it. There was maybe 50 people. A lot of people didn't know each other, and a lot of people did. And we got talking around, and a couple people go, well, what do you do for fun when you get off work, you know, late at night? And I said, well, my greatest thing is to listen to Coast to Coast AM, and sometimes I do get on the show. And they're like, well, what channel? How do you get it here? And it's like Cairo 97.3. And this one gal was listening. And she goes, well, I work for 97.3. But during the day, and, you know, of course, I won't say her name, but she works for that same show.
Ah.
We talk about a synchronicity.
Yes.
Like, I have listened to, you know, Dory Monson's, one of his reporters, for years, you know, just it's convenient for me because I work the second shift at a, you know, great airline company that builds planes here in Washington State. And so it was just so ironic of her listening to my story, and it just happens to be on the same, you know, broadcasted channel here, Cairo 97.3, where they, you know, do their Dory Monson show from noon
and,
to three.
And she works on the show.
Yeah, but yeah, she works for, it's the same, you know, I don't know exactly how you guys do it, where you trade off, or you're going to use the channel 97.3 FM, and they run it from noon to, you know.
Got it. Listen, I gotta run, Brian, but thank you. Great story. Great way to end it. Serendipity. Wonderful stories. What did one caller say? Freaky, weird, and wonderful. Indeed. For George Norrie, George Napoli's Alliance, Stephanie Smith, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galante, Chris Burrows, Gina Selvati, and Sean Latasur, I'm Richard Serrett. Thank you for your ears and your voices, your beautiful voices. Until tonight, so long for now.